Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Well, we continue talking about two examples of God-honoring religion in James 1:27. The text again says, "Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world." There's an awful lot that can yet be said about this wonderful, instructive portion of God's Word. And so as we gather together on this Wednesday, March 21, we will pursue this admonition that comes to us from the Spirit of God, and we will thank those whose financial gifts make it possible for us to do exactly that. All right, two examples of God-honoring religion. Number one is the unselfish help of the needy, and number two is vigilant attention to personal holiness. I'm still working on number one, unselfish help of the needy, but let me go ahead and address that second one, vigilant attention to personal holiness, because I think it's interesting how that these two are coupled together in such a way that those who make social activity the main thrust of Christian religion altogether seldom pay any attention to the second one. You understand what I'm saying? There is a brand of Christianity that has very little appreciation for the gospel and has very little appreciation for the other portions of God's Word, very little appreciation for sound theology and for the commandments of God as to how Christians are to live. They're all for social action. In fact, that's all they see in the Christian religion as they understand it, but they don't have much concept of keeping oneself unspotted from the world. Something's wrong here. Something's out of balance. Proper Christian religion understands both of these things. Now, on the other hand, there are some Christians who are big on separation from the world, but they seem to have abandoned the first one, this responsibility to help the needy. So, aren't we creatures of extreme? So you'll have some people who call themselves Christians who emphasize the first example and ignore the second one, and you have other people who call themselves Christians who emphasize the second one and ignore the first one, and I would suggest to you that a God-honoring Christianity understands and practices both. These two examples of God-honoring religion are in two different realms, two different thrusts. They're certainly not incompatible with one another at all. They are very compatible, but they're two entirely different areas. One has to do with the practical help of those who are in need. A lot of people are big on that one. Good for them. They ought to be. The other one is vigilant attention to personal holiness. Some people who are big on the first one have no interest at all in the second one, and vice versa, as I've already explained. So we need to have them both. And if we don't have them both, then we evidently don't have a very good understanding of what Christian religion is all about. Now, I already talked about that word religion on a broadcast last week, actually, I think maybe on Friday. So let me just quickly address it once again to say that religion is not a bad word. It's a good word. But religion has to do with the outward aspects of our Christianity. Faith is a matter of the heart. And there are a lot of aspects of our Christian religion that are inward. But there are other aspects that are outward, and it is the things that we do because we have been saved, because we want to please the Lord, because we have been given godly desires by the work of the Holy Spirit within. It is those things that many people view as the essence of Christianity. They're wrong. They're wrong. The essence of Christianity is not the outward, it is the inward. The outward has no value apart from the inward, but when the inward is genuine, it always manifests itself on the outside. So those who are Christians do have a religion. It's more than religion, if by religion we mean the outward external activities. It's more than religion. If that's all there is, just the outward external activities, then it is a useless religion. As James talked about a useless religion in verse 26, he says, if anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his own heart, that one's religion is useless. A religion that doesn't affect the way you live is a useless religion, but if all you've got is the external and your heart has not been changed, that's a useless religion too, because that religion doesn't save. A religion that doesn't affect your life, your activities, is not a religion that saves either. So the two have got to go together. But it has to begin in the heart. It is a work of the Spirit of God on the inside that brings about the cleansing, the change, the new direction, the new desires. And then in the outflow of that, the outflow of gratitude to God for what He has done in saving our souls, the outflow of the new interest in spiritual desires and intense desire to please the Lord that we now have because of this new heart that God has given us, there are activities that we will pursue because they please the Lord. And two very important ones that God is interested in seeing His people involved in are right here before us in James 1:27. Number one, we ought to be actively helping the needy. And number two, we ought to be paying careful attention to personal holiness. Now back to helping the needy. On the broadcast yesterday, we saw that there are other instructions that fill out what James has to say here about helping the needy, such as those in 1 Timothy chapter 5 that help us understand which ones of the needy we really ought to be helping. The Bible does not teach that we ought to help every person who is in need. We need to evaluate why a person is in need. And if a person is in need because of things they are doing, that if they would change them, they would no longer be in need, then that's the way we need to help them, to point that out. The Bible says, for example, if a man will not work, neither should he eat. Now, our society today doesn't like that. At least many people don't. And there are many people today that say in a country as wealthy as America, nobody ought to go hungry. That's sort of a baseline thing. Nobody ought to go hungry. We ought to have enough food programs to make sure that everybody who is hungry is fed. And the only qualification for these programs is that you are hungry. If you're hungry, you qualify. Makes no difference why you're hungry. Well, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says some people ought to go hungry. Who? The people who are unwilling to work. If a man will not work, neither should he eat. Did I say that? No. The Spirit of God said that. So we're not supposed to help needy people simply because they're needy. We're supposed to help needy people who are in need through circumstances that are not related to their own neglect. Or if they are, people who have learned because of the consequences of their neglect or their wrong lifestyle and have repented and are living changed lives but need some help. There are people like that. And of course, there is injury and there is disease and there are all kinds of what we call natural disasters that hit people and leave them in difficult circumstances through no fault of their own. And what James is talking about here are people in that category. When he specifies orphans and widows, he's not saying that's the only category of people that you ought to help. What he's doing is picking out people who are in need through no fault of their own. The widow, unless the widow murdered her husband, the widow is not a widow through any fault of her own. Her husband died, and left her in need. If her husband was a common, ordinary working man and didn't have any property, didn't have any wealth to leave her, then she very likely has been left destitute. And so she's in need through no fault of her own. Are there things she can do to help herself? Well, that depends on how healthy she is. If she's able to work, she ought to work, of course. That's exactly what Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 5. He deals with that very question. He has an extended section of several verses that really goes into this question of which widows to help and which ones to refuse. That's the word he uses in 1 Timothy chapter 5. Some will apply for help who ought to be turned down. They ought to be refused. Just because a person is a widow doesn't mean that they're necessarily destitute. There may be things that they can and should do. So you help them do those things. Sometimes people need some help in getting a job. They're willing to work, but they're just having difficulty getting a job. Help them get a job. That may be the best help you can provide for somebody, and far better to help somebody who's willing and able to work to get a job than it is to just give them money to live on. Because what's that? That's kind of the old adage. It's more helpful to teach a person to fish than it is to just give them a fish. And that's exactly what we're talking about here. You give a person a fish and you've kept them going for a day. You teach them how to fish and they can provide for themselves from then on out as long as they have health and a place to fish. So that's the idea here. And if you can help a person get a job, and it may take some things, you may need to provide transportation for them or help them provide transportation. That may be the obstacle. You may need to help them with childcare. That may be the obstacle. There may be all kinds of things that are making it difficult for that person to work and provide for themselves. So help them with those things, because that's a better way of helping than just simply supporting them financially. You want to help them to help themselves. For some people, that just requires a little bit of help. For some people, it may require a whole lot. And we ought to be wise and to work at helping people in this way. Until tomorrow, good day. May God give you His eternal peace.